This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
First Saturday of August, here we go. We were having a discussion around the fire pit last night. Like, does it feel like summer's almost over, or where are you at? I'm like, we got a lot of summer left. Right, don't do that right to me. Don't say, is it almost over? How are you, David?
I'm doing well, but I have to say, you know, I went to the doctor this week.
Yeah?
In Dayton. I was diagnosed with Brewer's fever.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
I have to give credit to my friend Dave Schultz for that one. He laid that one on me yesterday.
Hot, oh man! Right now,
yes,
they are hotter than the 92 degree days we had last week.
16-9 last night, and they gave up 5 runs in the 5th inning, so it wasn't even that close.
Yeah, good stuff.
25 hits, I think they had.
It's crazy. It is crazy. It's really so good. Fun to watch and be part of, and you know, it reminds me of like the 82. Was it 82 where we were like?
Yeah.
I don't want to say where we went, but I don't want to jinx anything, but right? It's just fun that team camaraderie and just watching everybody get excited as a town. And
they didn't really pull off any major trades and their deadline. And I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, it's just sometimes it's that clubhouse. You start taking people away, just like when they traded Hader, you know, a couple of years ago, what that did to the clubhouse. It just like shocked everybody and everything. So it seemed like they have this chemistry going, and they've been bringing these young guys in and everything, and everybody just seems to fit so well. I don't remember what's the general manager's name, but, you know, just the moves he's been making and bringing guys in, and Murph, and they just got it going.
Been good. Beautiful sunrise this morning, thanks to the Canadian smoke that's rolling in.
Right.
It has been kind of hard to breathe at points
Thursday
in the last couple days.
Thursday was kind of bad, I thought, but yesterday was perfect weather for golf. Got to go in the golf in the Kelman Restoration, Kelman Cares. They have a charitable foundation, so that was a good golf outing. Just my niece put on a clinic. She works for the PGA, so she's a pro, and she golfs with us. And
used a lot of her drives off the women's tees, did you?
Absolutely. So we did a respectable 9 under, and probably she could have played 8 or 9 under herself, but you know, we played a couple weeks ago, and I've been struggling off the tee.
You're like, I quit. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm like throwing away my wood. My irons have been pretty good, and I apparently had the shot of the day. I mean, it was pretty good. I hit a 210-yard shot, second shot on a par 5 onto the green, 210 yards with my 7 iron.
Yeah. I still don't believe that.
I got three other people,
crazy,
including a PGA pro.
That's crazy.
She turned around and said, "What did you just hit?" Because they had all used their fairway woods.
Yeah.
And we had a safe shot. And I said, "Well, my 7 iron. And she's, "You what?"
That's crazy.
Felt good. That kind of
probably got out some aggression with that, too. That swing to get it that far.
Yeah. So I felt pretty good.
Okay. So. Last night I was sitting around a fire pit. I wasn't out doing anything strenuous, so I'm feeling good, awake, and ready to go today. We have no guests this hour, so we're going to take calls on anything you have questions on how to fix your home. This is the time to get them in. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line is 855-616-1620. Next hour, Matt Hefter in from CertaPro Painters. So if you have painting, staining,
still a lot of time to do
that
some
kind
painting
of questions, let's wait till next hour. But anything other than that, let's get through them. Let's do it. Let's line them up and knock them down. 855-616-1620. There are some big names in music coming up this week, too, in the Milwaukee area. So Isaac's going to be playing some different bumper music as we come in. We'll see if David can name the band as we go through. That's always a fun game to play.
But we
appreciate you listening every week.
I can usually recognize songs. I just don't always know the band.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't even know songs. Well, unless they're from the 80s or 90s.
There you go. So you might have some. Most of these are. So we'll
see. All right.
We'll see. It is a Fix-It Show. We thank you for waking up with us this morning on WTMJ.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
Thank you for listening. Listen to this song. You know this song, David?
Yeah, it's Metallica, isn't it?
Nope.
No. Wait a second.
It's a great band. This album is one of my favorite albums of all time.
I know the song.
It is Queensryche.
Queensryche, yes.
Yes. Queensryche is going to be at the Wisconsin State Fair tomorrow night, which is an interesting band to me to be at the fair.
Right.
Because there are, even though they were rock back in the day, they were pretty niche rock. Like they had this Silent Lucidity was their big hit.
Right.
Operation Mindcrime, one of the coolest albums. You should just put your headphones on and listen to it, and it's cool. It's a very cool album. Cool band. But as you can tell, we have no guests today, so we're taking calls on anything, including calling the ladies' tees forward tees now. Yeah, they're no longer
let's talk golf,
ladies' tees.
Why don't we all just hit from the same tee?
If it's all equal rights, we should all hit from the same tee. Or the forward tee should be for people like me who just don't hit the ball well. Like you get a little advantage because you're terrible at golf. So go up to that front tee and do your best, buddy.
Right.
Just go up there and hit it. See what happens.
There are a couple holes yesterday where the two other guys on our foursome, they were both hitting tee shots like straight down the fairway, crushing it kind of thing.
Right.
And then my niece gets up to the forward tees and she hits it farther. So it's like, why did we even tee off? I mean, I wasn't hitting it off the tee at all. She was like,
so it's
she
a fix it, Joe. How do we fix this? How do you fix a broken tee when you hit their tee shot and it breaks?
I don't.
You go to your golf bag and get a new one.
Yeah, I got the yips off the tees, you know. So I don't know.
So what did you do this week? Inspection wise, was there anything that caught your eye? You're like, wow, this is a little different than I normally see. Any inspections on the eaves or on the stucco
not this week. I did have a pretty neat little old house on Okachi Lake built in the '40s. It probably had been added on to two or three times. You can just kind of see how things were, you know, okay, this was built before any building inspector was paying attention to anything. And so that's just kind of interesting. It's been there 70 years. A lot of stuff that wouldn't like quote unquote meet code today. I'm not a code inspector,
but that's grandfathered in, right? Because like the stairs in my house are not up to code.
Oh, absolutely.
Going to my basement,
absolutely. And that's a good point right there. Just kind of home inspectors are not code inspectors. So we hear about grandfathering things. Okay, well, building inspector is going to look at something and say, okay, this was built in such and such a
1940,
which there may or may not have even been a code,
right?
Or at that time, most likely there wasn't. And in the state of Wisconsin, our code, our current code, the UDC, Uniform Dwelling Code, was adopted on June 1st, 1980. Anything built before that kind of is the UBC, Uniform Building Code, tries to address it. But anyways, building inspectors will grandfather something because they'll say when it was built, that's what the code said.
So on my report, because I don't have a landing. So when you open the door to my basement, there's like two kind of diagonal steps that turn real quick and then you're going.
And does your door swing out over the stair?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's dangerous too.
Well, I almost, when we went to do the, like the, or not the inspection, but the open house when our realtor took us there, I thought it was a closet. It's right off the kitchen, so I thought it was like a pantry. I almost fell down the stairs because I just kind of opened and started walking in, and it was down. I'm like, whoa, be careful on these steps.
So things like that would have been done years ago, and now that's a no.
Yeah, you have to walk out. First, the door would open the other way.
Doors
secondly, there'd be a landing there
stairs
before you would start walking down the stairs.
Yeah. Exactly. And so a home inspector, I'm looking at the house, the condition of the house, not a code. The condition, safety features, things like that of the house on the day that I'm doing the inspection.
Gotcha.
So if something's unsafe today, whether it was built 40 years ago, whether it was built 2 years ago, whatever, if it's an unsafe condition today, that falls under the definition of a defect for a home inspector in Wisconsin. An unsafe condition or unhealthy condition for an occupant. But also, if the condition of a component of the home, if not as repaired, replaced, or removed, would adversely affect its expected life. So there's other parts of it. But if it's an unsafe thing, again, like railings at the top of a stair that have wide openings that a child could fall through, that's unsafe. Well, but back 15 years ago or so, railings had to be 6 inches on center. That was the spindles, 6 inches on center. Well, if you had smaller spindles, that left a pretty wide opening. Today, it's no more than 4 inches or 4 1/4 inches, I think, something like that. that a small infant's head can fit through?
So on an inspection report, it would call it out, but it wouldn't necessarily be a defect?
No, I'd call it a
defect. It's still a defect.
I'd call it a defect because it meets the definition of a defect. The reality is things like stair railings and you know, nice decorative railings, beautiful railings that in a home that was built in the 90s, and it looks gorgeous, they're in great shape, they're secure and everything, but the spaces are big enough that a small child could fit through. I'm going to call it a defect. Nobody's going to replace those.
Right, right.
That's just a reality. So you have
but
to
But you as
steps.
An inspector have, I still to, have to call CYA and make sure
well,
that's
I
have, on
I want
there.
To make sure that they understand that it's a safety issue, gotcha. But yes, it's also a little bit on me because if they don't do anything and their child falls through, insurance companies don't like to pay out money generally.
What? Come
so
on.
So they're going to find out who's responsible. Oh, did you have a home inspection? Oh, yeah. Oh, did he tell you that this is unsafe? No. Oh, really? And what's his insurance company? Yeah. So it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That's not the intention of a home inspection report to cover myself. It's to protect the buyer, give them information.
So they know.
Yes.
Hey, if you have a small child and they're by this railing, they could go through here. You need to watch this.
Right. I don't have any authority to make seller or buyer or homeowner, anybody correct anything, fix anything, do anything, but I'm just giving them information.
Here's the snapshot of the house at this period.
You make a decision, you make a negotiation, whatever, you know, whoever I'm working for, I'm giving them information.
855. Well, first of all, before we do that, what is your website in case somebody wants an
inspection? BestInspectionsLLC.com.
BestInspectionsLLC.com. Mm-hmm. Send him an email. He'll get back to you. And get
there's
you
a
set
form
up.
On there. You can give me all kinds of information.
All right. We want to hear from you this morning, though. No guest on the show this hour, so we're open for any questions about fixing up the house because it is the Fix-It Show. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Here's something kind of different. We don't normally talk about the Milwaukee Milkmen. They play at Franklin Park.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. They're AAA or
yeah,
what
they are.
Yeah,
we got the Dachshunds out in Conemaugh.
Right. Well, tonight at the Milkmen game, there's a drone show.
Oh,
I kind of want to go. Yeah, I kind
of
want to go because I still haven't seen a drone show.
I've
and
seen
everybody
one from
says
a distance.
Cool. Yeah. So it's becoming a thing.
It's amazing what they can do with those things.
Yeah, technology.
Yeah.
All right, 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. This one came in, says, I have an attached garage. I would like to put a ceiling in the garage for heating purposes. What is the correct way to vent the new space above the ceiling?
Well, that is going to be very important. A lot of garages don't have vents in them.
Yeah.
If whether it's attached or detached, if you can see the rafters and everything, it really doesn't have to be vented if it's an open ceiling. But yes, as soon as you put a lid on it, basically a ceiling, they call a ceiling a lid sometimes, you now have closed, you've created an attic space.
Yep.
And that attic space does need to be vented. And especially if you're going to heat it, now you need to treat it essentially like the attic of your home because you're going to have heat loss. So not only do you need a drywall, you're going to need a vapor barrier. You need to insulate it. Because if you don't insulate it, all that heat loss from the heat, when you're heating the garage, it's all going to go right up into the attic. You're going to have terrible condensation up there. So venting it just like your attic. So there's a calculation. I'm
trying
to remember.
If you go to airvent.com, it's right there. You just plug in the numbers and it'll...
The state of Wisconsin has a requirement.
Okay.
And it depends on, and I can't remember the numbers. There's probably roofing contractors or people out there that know it better than I do. It's 1 to 150 or 1 to 300.
It depends. Yeah. Which
it depends
on
if there's a vapor barrier.
Yep. Yep.
And I can't remember which is which.
Seriously, AirVent, you can get the app or airvent.com has all of it. You just put in the pieces that you need and it'll tell you exactly what venting you need.
So a ridge vent across the top or fixed vents, a couple fixed vents on the backside of the slope, and then make sure you have soffit venting.
Yep.
You know, so that calculation has to be done. You might need to cut soffit vents in. Do all that, but again, vapor barrier, insulation, and then your drywall. And then attached garages you have to have fire separation. So if he doesn't have a ceiling now, the drywall probably goes all the way up to the roof on that wall, the common wall between the house and the garage. So now that's still your firewall. You don't need to make sure that this garage ceiling is a firewall. Many new houses today, they're just drywalling the entire garage.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a one-story house, they're not even putting an attic access in the house anymore. your only attic access is in the garage now, in the ceiling of the garage. But and that's that access hatch has to be secured with latches or something. But in this case, you wouldn't have to do that. You could put a pull-down stair in there if you want to. Although, now that I say that, if you're insulating and you know you want to minimize the heat loss, pull-down stairs are very difficult to insulate well.
The other thing to be careful for, if you try to put stuff up in the rafters of the garage, I've seen this on many garages that I go look at people's homes. They put way too much stuff on there, and now their rafters are sinking.
They're overloading it.
And their roof starts to collapse inward.
Yeah.
Don't cut rafters in your garage to put in a garage door opener. Don't put too much heavy stuff up on the top rafters of your garage because you're going to mess up that garage roof.
Excellent point. Now you're putting a lot of weight on in that garage that wasn't originally designed or built for a weight of a garage ceiling. So you need to add more ceiling joists to support the drywall. And then you probably, there's a good, very good point, Dayton, that you probably need collar ties up higher to make sure that that roof doesn't sag. So yeah, you, there's a little bit more into it than just putting drywall on the ceiling and and
good question,
heating it. So, but yes, very good question.
Keep them coming. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is a Fix-It show. We go over to Elizabeth Linton in for the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Good morning.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It show on WTMJ.
Is it the Backstreet Boys?
Nope.
Boys to Men?
Hey!
Yes.
David Nason pulls it out.
I knew it was a boys band.
Boys to Men. They were at the State Fair last night. Is that correct? All right. Well done. Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. All right. Let's go through this one here because it's interesting.
Yes.
My home had multiple radon tests years ago in the area of 4.5. 3 years ago, I had a new water and sewer line put into the house. The ground was not needed for the former copper water line. The new plastic water line had a ground was not needed, so I capped the 2-inch pipe and have radon readings of approximately 1.2 with new continuous radon detector for 3 years. So when it comes to time to sell my house, do I disclose the 1.2 reading? So there's a couple questions in there. Let's talk through.
Yeah. So the EPA does recommend that you test your home for radon every 3 years. And the reason I mentioned the EPA because the state of Wisconsin, they need to get their act together out in Madison. They have not enacted any laws in Wisconsin regarding radon, well, except one, that all daycare centers have to be tested once a year.
Okay.
Well, so nothing about residential homes. And so we follow the EPA's guidelines. And so 4.0 picocuries per liter is the action level, not a safe level, but it's the action level where you should put a system in. I would say, disclose the 1.2 if that's what you're getting currently because – it's, you know, the condition has changed. Some, you know, they did something, and so maybe something was leaking in around that pipe or something. But back to that pipe. So now it went from a copper water line to a plastic water line. And the copper water lines, metal water lines, galvanized copper, were always used as a ground. That was the secondary ground. The primary was a grounding rod in the ground outside.
Mm-hmm.
I would make sure that their electrical system is still grounded properly because if you can't ground to that water line, you should be grounding to something else. And this might surprise some people, but they probably ought to ground to the black iron gas line coming in their house. You might think gas line.
Yeah, right. Yes. I'm going to ground to a gas line?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. It's still a metal pipe going underground outside most of the time. They're doing more and more plastic gas lines, but so that's usual is to ground to the gas line.
Okay.
So there's probably some electricians out there. I'm not a licensed electrician. We should do this. Talk to an electrician to get that confirmed. But they should make sure their electrical system is properly grounded and bonded.
All right. I want to plant some trees near my lot line. I know the Ethernet wire is near there. I called Digger's Hotline, but the other company, I'm not going to say the company name, didn't come out. I messaged and called the cable company.
Yeah, right.
They won't come out. How do I locate this buried Ethernet wire? Because that's not a metal detectable thing, is it? How do they tell?
It can, but so anyways, back to Digger's Hotline, they only mark public utilities. They don't mark private lines. Right. So if you hire an electrician to bury a power line out to your shed out in the backyard, when you call Digger's hotline, they don't know anything about that wire underground. They know about what We Energies has buried underground from for their power, for their gas lines, what the utility, your local utility, has buried for your water, and then also for We Energies for gas. Those three basically are what they're going to mark. There's a company called USIC. I looked them up. What does that stand for? I can't remember what it stands for. USIC is a private utility local or marker, and you can call them. They have an office out in Waukesha. If you look up, I'm looking over my shoulder here. Waukesha 262-613-3044 is their local
Say
office.
Say that one more time.
262-613-3044.
Okay.
USIC, and they're basically a company that marks underground utilities. They're nationwide.
So if that's private, though, you're probably paying them to come do that.
There's likely
a fee.
Yeah, yeah, a fee to do it. But I don't know how else you locate something underground. And if you have a newer house, like really new, you'll see this white PVC pipe in front of your house on the front elevation, and it's got some wires in it. Or if you have a newer house, if you have a gas meter and there's a yellow wire wrapped around the gas pipe, that's a locator wire. So that if they're having trouble locating, or maybe it's a plastic or something, and most people have a plastic water line to their new house, that wire, it's a tracer wire. So they can locate that wire, or maybe they have to put a battery or something on it to give it a charge, but they can find it then.
So I wonder if the company that put in this plastic
possibly
did that.
Possibly. Well, not for the cable, though.
Oh, yeah. We're talking cable.
But, but they may be able to find that for you. Because I don't think you're going to go out and buy the equipment to use to find these.
I would just keep pestering the cable company every day. Call. Eventually somebody's going to call you.
They might not have the utility they might not have the equipment to locate it. I don't know.
Even though they put it in? Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Another question here at 855-616-1620. Good morning. My son's new house has a dry sump pump. The inspector suggested getting someone to inspect the drain lines. Do you know someone that will do that? How? And what could the fix entail? Jerry from the West Side.
Yeah. So a dry sump pump does not always mean you have a problem with your drain tile. It can, but it doesn't always mean that you have a problem with the drain tile. It can mean that you just have very good drainage around the house. There are people I hear about, oh yeah, we've never had water in our drain tiles. Okay. You got really good drainage around your house. Good for you. If you want to have somebody look at it, Accurate Basement Repair does drain tile testing. They're on the show here. Here's the other thing is if you think you might have a drain tile problem, look around the rest of the basement. If the bottom course that you have, especially if you have a concrete block basement, if that bottom course of block all the way around or in many areas of the basement is all stained or water stained or efflorescence or something on it, then that's a better evidence that you do have a drain tile system. I don't know. I don't, a drain tile test is like $400, $500 or something. They come in, they cut a couple holes along the foundation wall. They pour water in and they see if the water goes to the drain tile. If you're not having a problem, it usually comes up during a home inspection, if there's a question. If I don't see the evidence, I'm just, you don't have any water in there. But I will tell people is like, you should pour water in this every once in a while.
Into the crock.
Yeah. And make that pump work.
Yeah.
And there are you can lift the float and you can hear the pump run and stuff, and I always kind of make a joke. I can make a noise like a sump pump, but I'm not pumping water either.
Yeah.
So you want to pour water in the crock, fill it up so that with enough water that the float lifts and turns on and actually pumps the water. Because a pump that just sits there for a while can just go bad.
Yep. All right.
So and if your crock is sealed because you have a radon system or newer houses are sealing, try to make a resealable port. That might take a little bit of work, but something.
I'm surprised don't they automatically do that? Like put the cap on with the part that unscrews and you can screw
back
on?
The new crocks have two holes in them. One of them's for the discharge pipe.
Yeah.
And then they usually shove a short piece of PVC with a cap on it in there. It's really difficult to get, you can pull it out, but it's really difficult to get it back into that hole. I've struggled with that. It's nicer to have something that either has some screws or you know, just something that can reseal. Yeah, if however you can do it, pour some water in there and make sure your pump works.
All right. Good questions. Keep them coming. 855-616-1620 is a Siding Unlimited. WTMJ talk and text line. Dayton Kane, David Nason, Isaac is our producer. Call him up. Get on the show with us. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Wait a second.
Is this a cover band? This was in excess, right?
This is in excess.
Yes.
They're not playing
Need You Tonight.
There, but
they're not playing, but the First Wave is playing at the Rock and Roll Beer Garden. And I would not be surprised at all if they do this song.
They definitely do in excess. This is the band I was telling you about a couple weeks ago. I've seen this band three times now. My uncle is in love with this band. My uncle, who's only 2 years, it's actually my wife's uncle, who's only a year older than me, loves this band. So we've seen this band three times, and he's going again tonight. I don't know if we're going with them or not. But yes, they definitely do in excess, Depeche Mode, Erasure. If you like that kind of 80s alternative stuff, they do all of it. So
I knew that one.
We do have, David, he knew that one right away. So I'm impressed.
I don't know if I had the title. Is it Need You Tonight?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good job. All right. Cheryl from Berlin on the line. Let's go to her. Good morning, Cheryl. New Berlin or Berlin?
Berlin.
Berlin. Thanks for listening to the show. What's your question this morning?
Well, I'm an older lady, and I would like you to comment on, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it's composite decking.
Composite?
Because it's, what is it called?
Composite.
Oh, composite. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's getting harder and harder for me to maintain my deck. And I was wondering what you thought of that decking.
Composite decking is really what almost everybody is using today for their decking. There are still some people going with maybe a redwood deck or this ironwood deck and everything, but those do still need some maintenance. The composite decking needs a little maintenance too, but basically it's just cleaning it, keeping it clean. So it is a very good product. There's some AZEK is a good brand. Is that what Outdoor Living?
Yep, TimberTech AZEK.
Yeah, AZEK. So there's a lot of different colors, there's styles, designs even in them and everything. So
they can curve it now. It's crazy what they can do with this stuff.
Right. So it is a very good product. You don't have to replace all the, if the structure of your deck is still sound, in good shape, I would hope whoever you're hiring to do this for you.
Yeah, mine is. It is very good shape.
You want them to make sure that the structure is in good shape, attached to the house properly, secured and everything. And then just replace the decking. A lot of times you do the decking and the railings out of the same products and materials. And then it becomes not maintenance-free. There's no such thing really as maintenance-free because even these things need to be kept clean so they don't get slippery. You don't want any algae growing on it or anything. But it is a very good option for you.
And I realize it is very expensive, correct?
It's going to be more expensive just because it's a long-term product. You're probably not going to be replacing this anytime soon, as long as it's done
Hopefully
well.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stain it every couple of years, and the maintenance is easier. Right. So, it's a nicer product.
Yeah, that's the big part. Mm-hmm. It's the maintenance is getting to be too much.
Sure. Yep.
Great question. Thanks for listening.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Yep, have a good weekend, Cheryl.
Yeah.
855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. One more segment with just David and I, and then we'll be joined by Matt Hefter from Serta Pro Painters. It is a Fix It Show on WTMJ. Come closer.
855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Is it Beyonce?
Beyonce, it's a guy.
That's a guy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was pretty young when he did this song, so his voice was a little higher than probably now. It's Neo. He's playing tonight at Wisconsin State
Fair. Apologize for that.
If you're listening, Neo, which is like a 99% probably you're not, sorry.
But I know that's just on me not knowing enough about music.
Well, Neo was one of the artists, the early 2000s, that I played when I was doing Top 40 Radio. We played a lot of his music. So I actually wouldn't mind going to see that show. I don't know that we'll make it down there.
And that's good rhythm and everything. So. Sure. Yep. My my music stupidity.
All right. The show is sponsored each week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. We thank them for that. Let's go to the phones and talk to Tyler in Tulsa. Good morning, Tyler. What's your question?
Good morning. So I recently just had a home inspection. It was on a little one-bedroom, one-bath cottage. And I'd really like to – I've lived in a condo my whole life, and I'd really like to learn how to do some of the repairs on houses and just start getting into that because I've never had to work with that. But now I don't want to pay professional contractors to do every little repair that I think I might have to do on this house that I'm trying to buy. Mm-hmm. So I was curious on your opinions and what your recommended guidance is on, in the age of YouTube, what kind of repairs is someone that has zero experience working on their home, can they do themselves?
That's a great question, actually.
That is a very good question. And I appreciate people that want to do work on their own homes because I've done work on my own home as well. Most people, I would say, probably try to. You do have to know your limits, number one. You really shouldn't get into things that you really need to be licensed to do, like electrical work. I've never recommended people do their own electrical work. They're just too much of a – well, first of all, things have to be done the right way so you don't create either electrical fire hazards or shock hazards. You don't want to shock yourself doing electrical work. So I've always stayed away from suggesting
simple
people –
simple stuff like switching out an outlet or a light – or a
still,
fan.
You still gotta understand, you know, the
all
concept
right.
of a circuit.
Of those and
you
I'm
complete
alive,
a circuit,
so.
You're gonna get a shock.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of electricians change out things, you know, without turning the breaker off.
Oh, no,
off
I turn the
live.
Breakers off.
Do I know.
Make sure
but,
you turn the breakers
but
off.
But again,
and test it. Get a little tester.
You just gotta understand that. So, yeah. Plumbing's not difficult, but you gotta use the right parts. I see a lot of plumbing where I open up the cabinet door and like, okay, it's draining and it's not leaking, but they used all the wrong parts. You know, you can't have hard 90-degree elbows for drains, water drains. You can for vents, air vents, but not water. You know, so stuff like that. So I appreciate the effort to want to do your own work. And watching YouTube is a good place for getting information. You still have to have a skill level.
Right.
To be able to do some things.
Some people just aren't mechanically inclined and they can't make it happen.
And building interior walls, maybe that have no structural implication to the house. Okay. You know, 2x4s, some, you know, you can use screws to do things if you don't want to start swinging a hammer, but use construction screws. Don't use drywall screws. Drywall screws don't have any shear strength to them. So you want to use construction screws. Hanging drywall and doing some finished carpentry work. Those aren't things that you have to have a license to do. But again, you have to have some ability and, you know, just be patient with when you're learning how to do these things. Okay, the first time you do them, like some of my first projects, I'm like, well, yeah, I could have done better on that. And, you know, your skill increases no matter, you know, what you're doing. But you know, YouTube, listening to the show here, stuff like that, talking to other people who work in the trades and just getting an understanding of what they're doing, finding somebody who can mentor you. I mean, that's always a good thing. Hey, how do you do? What are some tips and tricks? The Journal of Light Construction, you can go online. They got a lot of good articles where you can find stuff like there as well.
But so, good question.
Yes.
Thank you for calling, Tyler.
Yep.
Appreciate that. All right. That does it for hour number one. We do have Matt Hefter coming in next hour. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.